In the not-too-distant future, man has begun to colonize the universe. Until a first encounter plunges humanity into a galactic conflict.
Our orders are in.
Three marine pilots.
Okay, be scared.
Battle against the odds.
My controls froze!
To save the Earth.
Here's your best chance of staying alive.
In a feature-length series premiere that's out of this world.
Hoorah!
From the producers of The X-Files, Space Above and Beyond. Wednesday at 8 on Sky One.
Sully, I'm always here doing all these various movie and TV specials, and lo and behold, we gotta have another super fan on tonight, and it's the one, the only, Chad Carlock.
Hey, Sully, good to see you. Nice, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, a long time coming, guys. Before we got to the year 2063 to describe again, not just more of the sleeper show, Space Above and Beyond, but also the comic book spinoff, The Gauntlet, Demolition Highway, and just detailing how even some of the various episodes got adapted into comics or books. Chad, when did it all begin for you? When did TV become addicting all of a sudden? And you just were so angry every time, and just, you know, quality writing was not backed up.
Every time Fox screwed with the show, jerked around the dates a couple times and delayed it, missing the first 10 minutes of the show for NFL overruns and all sorts of the wonderful things that plagued Space Above and Beyond when it was actually airing on network television for one glorious season, unfortunately. I was in graduate school at the time. Always been a big sci-fi nerd, you know, back to the 70s and Space 1999 and, Star Trek, of course, and then Next Generation when that came on, and Star Wars movies and stuff. So, you know, a new show was something that caught my attention when it was coming to Fox. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got into it, you know, the first few episodes, I think, had a little bit of that, what Fox wanted them to write, a little bit more of the we called it Melrose Space for a while at the time, where they were trying to, you know, get the love triangle interest going and all sorts of interesting stuff like that. But, Morgan and Wong being the amazing writers that they are, they quickly took control of the show and took it in the direction that they'd always intended for it to go in the first place.
Absolutely.
They did some of that to get it on the air.
Exactly, like Babylon 5, where if the networks made a request that they wanted this and that, the creators were able to work around it and then say, okay, enough of that.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
No more. I gave you what the suits want.
Exactly, exactly.
It makes no sense, but that's what they want, and now we're out of here. But we're seeing how people are even reacting to different YouTube and Daily Motion uploads, and
it's interesting. And even, you know, as a short one-lived season, as you referenced sort of at the beginning, there was the beginning of, you know, some offshoots both into the comics, where there was one original comic story, and then Peter Teleup did the novelization of the pilot, and then he got a second book that was Demolition Winter. And I had, in prepping for this, I saw a quote from him where he actually said, you know, that there was potentially a plan for him to do a third book, which never got produced. But, you know, there were some stories even outside of the show that were starting to grow. And sci-fi fandom being what it is, there was lots of fan fiction that you could find online.
Oh, yeah.
As you can imagine, with various interesting scenarios with the characters. So that was sort of a whole thing too. And it was sort of at the beginning of 95, 96 was when the show aired. So it was sort of the beginning of, internet chat rooms and all that kind of stuff. And there was a very active fan group at the time, which many of us were in, and we discussed the episodes every week. And there was a neat little interplay, with the writers, you know, things that we talked about in the chat would show up a few weeks later in an episode. And so there was this kind of feedback loop that was really special.
Oh, totally. That rare kind of interaction where you're like, this is too good to be true.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we're paying attention to them and they see us, that we're watching, that we're discussing, that we're picking up on the concepts that they're talking about. And we're talking about, you know, the actual World War II battles that they're referencing, and even little side jokes. You know, it appears that they have managed to jinx the 49ers pretty good. They gave it to them quite a bit in the show, and I don't think they've maybe made one Super Bowl appearance since the show aired, and that's about it. But
maybe that's why they got canceled. They pissed a couple of
Chargers fans writing the show. What do you expect?
No telling. But yeah, it is so cool how this and B5 are having chat rooms, and Morgan and Wong go back to Millennium and X-Files.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. I know there was a lot of, at various times there was a lot of cast crossover even. Characters from Space Above and Beyond appearing in obviously in Millennium and in X-Files episodes, and other projects that they were working on, you know, as well, even in some of their film work after the show ended. Morgan and Wong went in and wrote the second season of Millennium as well, and sort of suffered a similar fate, unfortunately, although the show continued, I guess, for a third season and beyond without them in the writing position, but they certainly went out with a bang there too.
Oh, 1,000%. It seemed like, and kudos to, again, Boom and Dark Horse and some of these other comic book publications also continuing that saga there too. But it's, like you say, distressing because it almost kind of reminds you of when streaming was first becoming a thing, but all cable TV was still pulling the plug on everything, to where it was like, well, hold on a second. You know, there's, you're getting your ratings. It's just not, you know, it's not getting enough ratings on your end, but it's getting a lot of online play. And right. It is interesting how, like you say here, the forums and other interactions were already there, and yet they still weren't willing to take a chance on it, even though they were seeing some commotion online.
Right. Yeah. They weren't, we weren't quite to the streaming, you know, world yet. Netflix, I think, was even still in the future. And it took a few years after the show was off for it to even get, you know, put on DVD. You know, there's one set that's now out of print, and you got to track it down to try to find the shows. But I think it has been good, as you said, that, you know, some folks have grabbed their sets, and, you know, there's, I recently saw there's somebody apparently upscaled the entire show and threw it up online various places. And, you know, there's copyright issues, of course, with all that, but at least there's a place people can go find it. And so that's good, I think, to keep it alive as well.
Yeah, totally. Do you think anyone's ever pitched more books or comics to various outlets?
Well, I don't know, actually. I was part of the group that hosted a 20th anniversary event for the show, and we had basically the entire cast. We had Morgan and Wong there, and they talked about the show. And, you know, we asked them sort of about, so, you know, what happens in season two, you know, and so they sort of laughed about it a little bit. And Glenn Morgan basically said, well, you know, since the show got canceled, everybody that you think is dead is probably dead. You know, there were very, you know, and season two was going to deal with sort of, you know, war injured McQueen and then Hawks and West were the only two that made it back to the Saratoga. At the end of the show, spoiler, sorry. So, you know, there was sort of a question about, well, you know, do you add new, you know, cast in there? Or do you have them, you know, as war prisoners behind enemy lines, and what happens next in the war and all that kind of stuff? So it definitely was, you know, sort of heartbreaking to not, you know, get sucked into the story and then not see it where it ends up.
Yeah, that would be wild. I'd like to think that Shane Vanson, the lieutenant, or, not just West End Hawks, but right. If McQueen's still leading it, that's reassuring. But, you know, they would have probably just continued to just keep surprising us. But I think where I get agitated is just how, again, Village Roadshow Pictures, of all people, you know, it was just beginning before it became a big Warner Brothers Sony outlet. And they were really putting some serious money into this, and yet still wasn't enough.
Yeah. It was, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, we're only speculating about what the suits were thinking, and, you know, it but it seems, you know, the discussion at the time among the fans was that, you know, it was sort of too good for its own good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not enough Melrose space and too much, you know, gritty war drama. And, you know, the mid-90s, we weren't quite to, like, you know, gritty dystopian stuff yet. No. So, you know, it was pretty heavy for those days. They had the occasional, you know, the casino episode. It had a little break from here and there and, you know, stories that would kind of go off to the side. But, you know, the overall arc was very intense. And and that bled over too into some of the other stories. I mean, a lot of the comics and the novelizations and stuff were based on show episodes, but there were a couple of original stories. And, you know, at various times during the season, you'd get, you know, other squadrons that would kind of come and go. And so you kind of, you wonder about, you know, you'd have a whole series about, you know, some other carrier group on another ship doing different missions that had nothing to do with the 58th. And it would still fit into that larger story.
Yeah, we were noticing that too, how it seemed like some episodes were aired out of an initial rotation or what have you, and it just kind of got down to, it was just like, okay, well, hold on, you know, like, it's related, but they braced themselves for, should this happen, you know, should the suits air it out of
Yeah.
And intended air date, and like you say, still make it add up. And what's your take on the fighting simulation where you don't really know until the very end? Spoiler, but that one brings you back to where each time I'm like, wait, was this meant to be part of a Twilight Zone anthology? You know?
Yeah, well, the two-parter finale, which, you know, we didn't actually even know at the time it aired whether it was going to be a season finale or a series finale. I mean, that's in a way that heightened the impact of it, because, you know, it was so crazy that it was just like, wow, well, you know, now if they don't get canceled, what the hell are they going to do? With this, you know, but it was sort of like, you know, and you could, I think they probably knew before we knew. I mean, the last two episodes are called, you know, If They Lay Us Down to Rest. And then the last episode is Tell Our Moms We Done Our Best. So it was, you know, it was definitely like, you know, we're going to finish this story somehow. And we wanted to do more, but if we're going to have to go out, you know, let's go out swinging. And, and you know, all kinds of revelations, you know, about the Chigs, of course, and about Aerotech and the sort of the conspiracy behind the conspiracy on the human side. And all that comes out, you know, in the last 20 minutes of the last episode. And so it's a lot, but it was definitely, like I said, going out with a bang.
Special kind of rarity. Because most shows won't.
Yeah, in a way, I think if they had not known that cancellation was likely, maybe they wouldn't have taken so many risks in the finale. So, you know, ironically, I suppose it gave us a better episodes. But obviously, all of us fans wish it could have continued.
Oh, totally. It's still sad that it still eventually got the axe, but at the same time, I'm at least happy that it got a DVD release. But
yes, right, we got the DVD release.
How and much I is that is based
it,
on
it was for a year or two, I think. So the Sci-Fi Channel picked, when it was one of its different spellings, picked it up and reran some episodes. I don't know if they reran the entire series, and I think they, I don't even know if they did them in order, but
I think they aired them in.
There are DVDs out there to be had, and there are places you can find it still on, you know, on YouTube and other places where people have ripped episodes and uploaded them. Mm-hmm. And we do have, you know, we do have things like the comics and the novelizations and stuff to go back to. But
I think you're
unfortunately,
right.
I think it's mostly nostalgia now.
It is unfortunately nostalgia, but I think you're right. I think every episode aired on Sci-Fi, I would definitely keep seeing parts of it, especially around 04 to 06 era. And I was like, what is this? Is this a movie? I've never heard of it. And it was so funny is I didn't even put two and two together, because I had read on about this show. Just somehow it just was always brought up as, you know, best shows of all time, shortly lived, you know. And it's definitely stinks that it has to be nostalgic. It's just like, well, why?
Well, and the Sci-Fi, you know, it was good to expand it to a new audience, and, you know, a younger audience that didn't see it when it first aired in the 90s. I wish it would have lasted longer there, too. But, you know, even Sci-Fi, you know, they don't seem to keep the rights to anything for very long either. It's a bummer ever since then that nobody else has picked them up. I'm sure they're out there to be had. And now, you know, now that we are into gritty dystopian stuff, it seems like it could find a life out there streaming somewhere, with so many platforms now too. I guess, you know, since Disney technically owns most of the Fox catalog now, it technically, I guess, is a Disney property. You know, who knows about the fine details of whether or not Disney even knows they own it. But I'd like to see it streaming somewhere.
it's just eye-opening though too, how so many will just kind of, like you say, play with their ratings, and even just it's just always blows one's mind that, oh well, we got to start all over, it's not getting any ratings. It's like, and still they were somehow able to, like you say, you know, pre-internet, really kind of get enough of fan base at conventions and make these spinoffs. And like you say, the DVD set's been discontinued, but even some of these various comics, you know, were, you know, they were getting up there too. Seeing eBay bids up to 40 and more, and I'm like, geez.
Yeah, well, I was going through my collection preparing for today, and I realized I'm missing one of the novelizations. I have two of number two and none of number three. So I was on eBay myself earlier today.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Like, I guess I'm going to have to complete my collection. So.
Right.
But yeah, because that's part of the fan that goes with the fandom. You know, once you get into it, it's like, well, you know, obviously you have to have all of them. So.
Totally. It's kind of an encouragement to just like, hey, just complete the collection. That's a shame though, that the creators have been teased about it before and they've kind of got, I wouldn't say they got cynical, but they got to where they're just like, well, we don't have the opportunity, we don't really want to continue that. And that's kind of a shame, because you would think, hey, you know, this could keep playing on in some other medium.
Right. There's been, you know, I'm sure it's all wishful fan talk for the most part, but there's been, you know, articles online and things about, you know, what about a reboot, or, you know, what about a new cast or continue, you know, and, you know, it's been 27 years now since the show's been on TV. So, you know, the cast is, and almost all of the cast are still acting. Some of them moved into other stuff. You know, Kristen Cloak is directing and doing theater and other stuff now, but, you know, everyone else pretty much continues to work. So, you know, it's possible, but I don't know if they would be interested in it. And I don't know if it would be the same, frankly. I'd love to see them in action again. But you'd have to really have everybody to do it right. And if you didn't, and they did a recast or they did something else, you know, I don't know if you could recapture that lightning in the bottle that they had for that one season, but it's still kind of fun to speculate about.
It is. It's like, it seems like it's not a solution we can fix in any way, shape, or form, unlike other stuff, which has had second chances. But yeah, with even similar military sci-fi stuff, like, you know, Starship Troopers, although that's satire, and Battlestar Galactica, and even The Expanse, it is kind of also like, you know, people crave this kind of cyberpunk,
yeah,
humans versus aliens that you can take seriously material. And then to even, like you say, if it's been so long, it's not going to be 100%. And then at the same time, like, well, you know, people do actually want to see something more, but how could it work? So, yeah, I mean, unless they want to do just another comic book, I really don't know what else they could do, because, you know, like I say, you would have to get so many people to just kind of really step back into that world and get comfortable again.
Right. Yeah. And all the cast, you know, when we had them all together again, we had almost everybody. We had all the main cast there, and, you know, they all, to every single one of them, said it was, you know, one of the most rewarding, you know, acting experiences they've ever had. And the, you know, the camaraderie on the set and stuff, and the family and stuff. I, you know, they still, you know, 20 years later, they still had like a text group that they talk to each other and stuff. So yeah, they really enjoyed it. But at the same time, I mean, even for them, you know, it was great to see, for them to see each other again. But it was sort of like, I don't know what it would be like for us to try to recreate that and work together again and stuff. So, you know, I think all of them kind of consider it as something that they're, you know, really proud of, and that they're very glad, you know, happened to them in their acting careers. But now it was a long time ago, and they're doing they've done lots of other things since then. You know, Joel De La Fuente went on to, you know, be in Man in the High Castle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, James Morrison's been on 24 and lots of other things. And
they kind of stayed true to that Fox or Sony TV family. And then, I think Joel just continues to get a lot of fans, just not just from SVU, but also just like some recent Netflix shows and movies he's done. And it's amazing how, again, all these actors have found recurring or guest starring roles, except for Weston Hawks, who seemed, and some of the other supporting actors who seem to have just left this business altogether. And it's a shame, because Much like how there's been kind of unofficial reunions with all these kinds of shows, you would think he could just the creators could maybe do another reunion at like anything, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be sci-fi, maybe it can be an action or horror fest, but yeah, it'd be cool to just see them maybe even on the same panel as some other X-Files guys who are always at those conventions. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, a lot of them guest starred in various things and other projects that Morgan and Wong did, you know, films and other TV series.
Especially that Gator episode of X-Files, Tucker Smallwood's in. He has like the small town sheriff. And so funny because like the way he looks at the screen, you're just like, yeah, but he's looking at the Space Above and Beyond fans. He's not looking at the X-Files.
Yep, that's right. That's right. And there was a couple other weird, you know, there's a crossover. I think it was an episode of JAG. where there's a plaque behind one of the characters in one of the bars that they're in, there's a plaque on the wall and it's an Angry Angels plaque from Space Above and Beyond. So it was like, okay, somebody worked on our show who's working on JAG.
That's awesome.
There's lots of fun little crossovers like that.
And you just never know until like it actually happens, but it right. is.
Or you don't even know. Somebody happens to spot it, you know, and then they call it out you're like, that is so cool.
It's kind of like how when, like, just so many people work long enough in this business where they will kind of do their unofficial reunions or something, but they can't legally use the character's name. So it is funny when someone pulls kind of a Chris Carter or Tom Fontana or any of these other guys where it's like, yeah, and we did this and that, and it's still a thing.
Yep. Yeah, it's still out there. Yeah.
And oh man. So where can we find you on the airwaves? Yeah, obviously you're still doing a great job keeping the group for this show alive. But it's just what's keeping you going?
I'm one of the admins of the Space Above and Beyond Facebook page and group. The as official as there is, which means totally unofficial. we also run a Twitter account. I think it's at Space Above and Beyond. Sweet. I should look that up ahead of time. But you know, we try to follow the anniversary dates for the episodes and birthdays of key cast members, and just, you know, put a couple screen caps up from the show and a little summary, plot summaries and stuff, on the anniversaries to keep them going. And occasionally people actually go and discuss things about the episodes still. So that's kind of fun.
That's nice. And altogether, it's just really cool to see just how this kind of interaction is still possible. Doesn't right. matter how old or newer it is. I'm still even seeing some other people just bring it up just because, you know, it's not just being a fans of the creators and their various, you know, contraptions and everything. It's also just in general, just appreciating just earlier material, which I think we need more of that. You know, it seems to kind of be restricted to just select Blu-ray remasters and everything. It's like, no, there's so much stuff just being rediscovered. You should always just, you know, keep using the YouTube platform for that.
Right. No, it's really great to see, you know, things out there, especially when, you know, like lists of, you know, underrated or, you know, shows that died before their time and that kind of stuff. And, and, you know, Space Above and Beyond is in there, and you'll invariably get like, you know, the first three comment, like, oh my God, yes, I remember that. But, oh, you know, that was great. Remember that episode about so-and-so. So for those who remember, it's a really great memory. And for those who haven't discovered it yet, there's still the opportunity to do that. I mean, it's nice that the technology's made it that much easier for us to discover old things. You know, I mean, you can go on, you know, streaming and watch episodes of, you know, MASH from the early 70s or, you know, whatever you want to do. It's out there. And you've got to work sometimes to find some of the deeper stuff. But I mean, the online communities have made, you know, there's people talking about, you know, the fourth Doctor still, you know, in sci-fi fandom. So there definitely is an opportunity, no matter how old the show is, to keep it alive and keep discussing it. And especially with a show like Space Above and Beyond, I think their the themes that they hit on, mm-hmm. you know, about honor and duty and, you know, ethics of torture and, you know, just sort of all this sort of heavier stuff that they got into is stuff that, you know, it keeps coming back and it's timely. And, you know, you can discuss the same issues in a new light, you know, in modern days, and we'll probably still be, you know, thinking about these issues in 2063.
1,000%, because usually, you know, when something comes back, it's had that much demand. But this, you know, whoever made this awful mistake, you know, just it's long gone. It's not coming back, but it's still such a rare kind of popularity that it's going to be alive and well in so many people's who have re-experienced it. But yeah, it's. Yeah, you would like to think that somewhere down the road, whoever preserves TV could just keep reminding others, hey, you know, remember some good stuff. It doesn't have to be just only streaming for it to be relevant still.
You know? Right. Yeah. I mean, there's no shortage of science fiction out there, obviously. But, you know, quality, you know, heady, you know, important science fiction is maybe a little bit harder to find. So when you've got something out there, it's important to make sure people find it, you know.
Totally. Instead of just saying, oh, it doesn't exist, you know, some of the other streaming ones have done that.
Yeah, everything that's on is everything that's streaming is crap, you know, and that, you know, there's you gotta be a little bit selective. There definitely are studios and projects that you go, oh geez, you know, they're just putting this out there to get some eyeballs. And they didn't put a lot of thought into it, and they didn't put a lot of science into it, or they didn't put a lot of
see you know, for cheap. Yeah, it's all kinds of stuff where it's just like, whoa, clearly,
yeah, especially for the time, you know, when Space Above and Beyond was on. I mean, they really were pushing the envelope in terms of, I mean, like processing power to do the graphics for the show.
Oh, you know, yeah.
at the time was impressive, and it took a long time, and it was expensive, and the you know, the suits didn't like that. But it made for a great show, you know, even those 3 second shots, you know, that took them, you know, a week to put together, you know, were important and really sort of, added to the show a lot.
Totally. I wish we could still have some of that interaction, because it still seems like there's some who just want to abuse the template just to get into Twitter debates with people, and you know, that feeds some other clickbait. Can you believe so and so responded this way? I'm like, yes, because they're a showrunner and they're trying to address your issue. But I wish there was some of that more just very just laid back, chilled out atmosphere that we don't really seem to get as much.
Yeah, the fan community in the 90s was, you know, I mean, we had our share of flame wars on the discussion group, but, you know, mm-hmm. and it was about the, you know, around some of the issues that were raised in the episodes, but didn't get out of control, and it didn't get toxic, and it was mostly all in good fun. You know, and it was because the show was thought provoking, you know?
Yeah.
And so there were things that were actually worth discussing, and it wasn't just like, you know, oh, I don't like West, or you know, there was some of that, you know, they made him he's a whiny crybaby, you know, but he got a few more layers than that, and they came out during the show. So
that's good. It's been a delight having you on here, because again, just see a kind of fandom that is still going and just is only going to keep remaining big, I believe.
Yeah,
quite a while.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It's always fun to talk about it, that's for sure. And the Topps comics, there are two series of Topps comics. They're still out there. You can find mm-hmm. them on eBay and elsewhere. Yeah. And there are two Peter Tellett books. And then there's also a series of four novelizations by Harper Trophy that were all yep. based on episodes of the series. So those are all out there. So I encourage everyone to go find them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are more collectible than others, I've learned, as I was searching around for the one that I'm missing. But they are still out there and they are available. So, it's worth
they exist, a little guys. Research. They exist.
Yeah. And the DVDs are out there too. If you want to watch it in all its original 4x3 glory, you can yeah. do it. And, And the DVD sets are pretty good. There's a European version of the DVDs that apparently has a couple of audio documentary or voiceovers or documentaries that aren't on the USA set. So
for some reason they always seem to give extra stuff to the UK, and it always makes me go, oh, what about the US? Who's major?
What about where it was actually produced and where this material came from? But you can even find those documentaries, I think, on YouTube if you look hard enough out there. So the bonus features can be accessed and watched even without a region, whatever the UK is, DVD player. If anyone still has a DVD player.
We do, but it's just so easy to press play. So.
Yes, it's a lot easier to pick up that remote and keep scrolling until you find something, right?
Yeah. But one of these days, people get desperate enough and just say, I'm bored with the current options. I'm watching older stuff again.
Well, vinyl's coming back, so, you know, don't throw those DVD players away just yet. They'll come back around.
And that's the other wild thing, too. We're still seeing even people just bicker now, too. Oh, keep physical media or just digital. And it's like, but you don't have to it doesn't have to be a challenge, guys. It doesn't have to be a game. It doesn't have to be a rivalry. Just keep them both. Use them.
Keep whatever you want to keep. Yeah. It does get a little annoying to buy the same movie five different times in five different formats. I will say that. But it's nice. And I'm old school enough to like to own stuff. So having a physical copy of the DVDs of the show is pretty comforting.
Mm-hmm. You would think it would be by now, but man,
it was a weird. It was an in between place in technology too. They were double sided DVDs.
Yeah,
which was kind of fun. Which is kind of fun. So you know, we play two episodes and you flip it over and watch another two episodes.
Yeah, everybody wins. Everybody wins.
Now they could probably fit the whole show on. You know, one or two Blu-rays, I imagine.
Yeah, please. Fox, Disney, do
somebody.
Somebody.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.